Well, you know, as we enter into Thanksgiving week, we hear many sayings that are often true. Famous sayings: don't count your chickens before they hatch. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It's always darkest before the dawn. And a penny saved is a penny earned. And famous sayings are usually famous because they're true. Several years ago, Johnny Carson got a letter from a kindergarten teacher. And what she did is she took many of these famous sayings and only gave the children the first half and then asked them to complete the sentence. And I wish I could remember all of them. They were classic. But here were a few. A penny saved is a lot of money. It's always darkest when the lights are off. A bird in the hand wants you to feed him. And my favorite, what is this person thinking? Don't count your chickens. They might reach up and bite your nose off. Well, you know, there's another saying, famous saying, silence is golden. How many ever heard that? We hear it all the time, actually. And you know, silence is better than certain things. It certainly is better than criticism or cutting hurtful words spoken in anger. Better than cursing or gossip. Better than I told you so. Better than pat answers in the face of terrible tragedy. There are times when silence is golden. But there are times when silence is not golden. Like when we need to say help, and we're too proud to reach out to people who love us and are willing to help, but we're just too proud to ask for it. Or when we need to say I'm sorry. We know there's space between us. We know that there's been offense, and we know that we need to say I'm sorry, but something in us just resists, pride, whatever. And then we need to say, I love you. Silence is not golden when we need to say, I love you. People need to hear that and reinforce the reality, if it's true, in relationship. And there's one time that silence is not golden that I want to focus in on today, and that is when we need to say thank you. And I want to speak to you about the power of thanksgiving. There's a great story in the New Testament in Luke 17, and in the last couple weeks, I've felt like I've got to know this person in a different sort of way as I've read the story, reread the story, and meditated on the story, and God gave me some fresh bread and insight into the story, and he's now one of my new heroes in the Bible. But we're going to read about him in Luke 17. If you would stand, and if we could read this together off the screen, it'd be great. Not a race. Let's stay together. Let's read together. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Just repeat a simple prayer after me. Dear God, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your word. And I pray now by your Spirit, you would teach us. Help Ron to say it. Help us all to do it. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, to understand and appreciate this story, we need a little background information. And the first thing we need to know is that in that day, leprosy referred to a broad range of skin conditions. Some skin conditions would naturally clear up and heal. Some would not, and maybe progress even to the point of death and losing limbs and dying as classical leprosy manifests itself. But because some conditions would clear up, They referred to all these skin conditions as leprosy, and by law, they had to announce that they were unclean and stay out of the life of the town or the village. They had to stay away from temple life. They had to be secluded because of their uncleanness. But if their skin condition cleared up, they could go to the priest, and the priest would pronounce that they are clean. And then they'd be able to enter into life as a society and with family and friends. The second thing we need to understand is that one of them was a Samaritan. And the clash between Jews and Samaritan goes back many, many years. When the Assyria took over the northern part of Israel, and the result was a group of people that were regarded as half-breeds at the end of that time by the Jews. And so they referred to the Samaritans as dogs. They would have nothing to do with them. Samaritans hated Jews. Jews hated Samaritans. And when Jews in Galilee went south to Judea to go to Jerusalem, they went all the way around Samaria so they wouldn't step foot in this place with these vile Samaritans. So it's interesting, you've got 10 lepers, and 9 of them are Jews, and one of them is a leper. And you have to ask the question, why was he with them? Was their suffering so great that that bonded them together and they became a unit? Or maybe he was never really fully accepted by them and he walked behind, but walking behind is better than walking alone. We don't really know. But they go to Jesus and they cry out for help. And Jesus says, and a very interesting response, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, wouldn't you think that Jesus would heal them and then say, go show yourselves to the priest? But he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And they had to put trust in his word. They had to obey and have faith and go. And it says that on their way, they were healed. Now, what's interesting to me, and it's been blowing my mind all week thinking about this, is that the Samaritan could not have been pronounced clean, even if he was without leprosy. Jesus asked him to do something that was impossible. The priest never would announce a Samaritan as clean, but he goes. That's why he's my new hero. This guy has more faith in the words of Jesus in the face of the impossible. And it's amazing to me. And so as he goes, he sees that he's cleansed, and he goes back to say thank you. And the other 9 says that they were cleansed, catharzo, where we get the word catharsis, meaning the skin condition cleared up. But only the leper was pronounced as whole. And the word there is sozo, a word that Carol mentioned. Means saved, delivered, made complete, life in its fullness. So the 9 just got their skin problem cleared up. The leper, the Samaritan leper, got his skin problem cleared up and salvation from Christ. Pretty amazing. Well, let's take a look at some lessons we can learn from this amazing man. And the first lesson is his reason to give thanks. His reason to give thanks. Verse 6 or 15a says, when he saw that he was healed. Have you noticed that it's possible in life to not see things that are so obvious? To miss things? And no doubt as he went along and saw that his skin was changed, it was a shock. And he was blessed and he knew it. And he certainly had reason to give thanks. And the same is true for all of us. We've got many, many reasons to be thankful. But sometimes we're just blinded to it. We just don't see it. We don't notice it. We fail to see it. We're blessed and we don't know it. Well, thanksgiving begins with seeing that we're blessed. Psalm 36, 5 through 7 says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep, O Lord. You preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. You know, it's natural for us to think that the grass is always greener somewhere else and other circumstances are sometimes things we wish for, more affluence, an easier life, less problems. And according to this logic, the more affluence and the more success and comfort you have, the happier you should be. And using this logic, you would think that the people of the United States would be the happiest people in the world. But there's been a happiness index that's been developed that tests the happiness of people. And according to a 2012 Gallup poll, the U.S. ranked 33rd in the world on the happiness scale. In spite of our tremendous affluence and luxury, we're 33rd, and ahead of us are countries like Guatemala, who's torn apart with civil war and corruption and drastic need and poverty. And yet they rank much higher than us in happiness. Why is that? Well, probably a lot of reasons, but one lesson for sure is that affluence and plenty does not equal happiness. But what are the things in your life that you really can be thankful for and should be thankful for? And I found that it's a matter of perspective. Not denying the bad things in our life, but looking for the good. And I want to say humbly that I know something about this. That during the last 11 years in my battle with three different kinds of cancers, that there have been times that looked dark and hopeless, and times that there was pain, and times that there was struggle. And yet I'm thankful that I've always been able to be thankful for something. Because as bad as it is, there's always reason to be grateful. Amen? There was a great Bible teacher and commentator in the 17th century by the name of Matthew Henry. Maybe you know that name. And he was once robbed, and they found in his diary these interesting words. I am thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse or wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Amen. That is a great example of perspective, that there's always something to be thankful for. I remember that old song I used to hear my mom and dad sing, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will astound you what the Lord has done. And you know, it's interesting, this last week, totally unsolicited, someone told me that they decided to try to come up with 100 things they're thankful for and write them down. And they told me they started going, and it was like it took off, and they zipped right by 100, and they kept going because there were so many things, once they started to think about it, that they were thankful for. And it changed their perspective, it changed their attitude and their mood, because they realized how truly blessed they are. Well, there's a second lesson in this story that's very important, and that is his decision to give thanks. Verse 15b says he came back. Now, obviously, he felt grateful. But what's important is he decided to go back and give thanks, to do something about what he was feeling. You see, gratitude is a feeling. Thanks must be given. And way too often in our lives, in our relationship with God and each other, we feel grateful. We really do. But we let it stop there and we don't express the gratitude that we feel with thanksgiving. Psalm 104 says, give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, why do we fail to give thanks? I've listed there some reasons. I'm sure there's more, but here's a few. One is we think we deserve what we have. I worked hard for this. Why should I be thankful to God or anybody else? I worked hard for this. Well, let me ask you a question. Who gave you your abilities to work hard? Who gave you the hands with which to work? Who gave you the mind with which to be creative? You work with what you've been given. And if you are successful, you have been blessed. And whatever you're able to do, you need to be thankful for that and the ability to do it. Sometimes we don't think it matters to God what we express. I think this is very common. We think, you know, God is busy. I mean, he's got like stuff to do, you know? He's God. But he's never too busy to hear thank you from his children. All of us who are parents here, we know what it is for our kids to say thank you. And it means so much to us. Well, another reason is we know that God knows what we feel, so why say it? Of course God knows what we feel. He's God. But again, like a loving parent who loves to bless their children, we need to hear the words thank you, and so does God. Sometimes we forget. We lose our focus on how we've been blessed, and we just kind of move on to the next problem. Or maybe sometimes we're too proud. We feel grateful, especially with to God, but expressing that with something as crazy as singing or raising our hands or something, let's not get carried away with this thing. You know, we're too proud. We're afraid. And one of my life verses is Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, when King David marches in along with the ark to place the ark in the temple in Jerusalem, he is so stoked, from the Hebrew stoke, that he begins to dance. Now, I don't know how good a dancer David was. I'm not a good dancer. I'm a terrible dancer. And I used to, you know, try to dance, and my kids thought I was kidding, and they would laugh. And we left it at that. I was doing the best I could. But anyway, King David was dancing, and Saul had a daughter who was David's first wife, and she was really put off by this, and she criticized him. And he said, I'm going to undignify myself even more because I'm praising God, and I don't care what people say. I don't care what people do. I'm going to praise my God. And I saw this week a great example of abandoned praise and happiness when a friend of mine sent me a link to a penguin in a zoo, along with a bunch of other penguins. And this one penguin was just happy and going to show it and couldn't care less what the other penguins or the people of the zoo thought. Take a look at this. It's precious. I love it. He just keeps going and going. He doesn't care what people think. You can imagine the other penguins are thinking, this guy's crazy. Reminds me of me when I was a kid. Well, it goes on and on, but you get the point. That penguin man was going to jump around and be happy, and it didn't matter what other penguins thought. And I think there's times where we just need to express our love to God and not be so concerned what people think. And I hope that as you come to worship, that more and more we'll be free as a worshiping community to express our love. If you want to stand or be seated or raise your hands, whatever you want to do, just be free to praise the Lord. Well, the third lesson from this story for me is his focus of thanksgiving. Look at verse 15c, praising God in a loud voice. Notice he just doesn't run around saying, yippee, I'm healed, with his focus on his healed condition, his blessing, but his focus is on God, and he praises God in a loud voice. So what's the difference between praise and thanksgiving? I'm glad you asked. We thank God for what he's done, and we praise God for who he is. That's an important distinction. We thank God for what he's done, and we need to thank him a lot because he's given us a lot to be thankful for. Amen? But the more we get to know God, the longer we walk in relationship with him, the more we're struck with the qualities of God that are certainly expressed in his gifts toward us, for which we're thankful. But we just get to know God. And, you know, it says in the Bible, let not the rich man boast in his riches, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the wise man boast in his wisdom. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows me and understands me. And the more we get to know God, the more we can praise him for who he is. And some of my praise time is not thank you for all the stuff, which I do, but it's also, I praise you, Lord, for you are steadfast. When I am weak, you are strong. When I am stupid, you're wise. When I don't know which way to go, you guide me. Thank you for your loving kindness. I praise you for your steadfast love and mercy that is fresh every morning. And so we need to exercise both in our thanksgiving and praise. Well, some suggestions I have here for thanksgiving and praise. These are just a few suggestions. One is use fresh language in prayer. Try not using thanks. Try beginning your prayers with you speaking to God instead of I speaking of yourself. And again, this will help you develop as not just a thanker, but a praiser. Praise the Lord for his qualities. Say, Lord, you are. And that's one of the things I love about coming together and singing like we do, is that many of the songs we sing put the focus on God. And you know one of my favorite songs is that one that has the different words for the men and the women. And I always sing with the women because I like those words better. But You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. God knows who He is. But we just need to remember who He is. And we just pour on our love and our affection on God. And we declare the goodness of God. I love that new song we've learned. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. And so we need to always remember to try mixing it up in our language. Use the names of God, Redeemer, Rock, Bread of Life, Comforter, Lamb. Some of you know, and I've shared this before, that I have a blanket in our family room. And I don't know where we got this, but it has the different names of Jesus. And many times on cold mornings, I'll wrap this around me as I get down to pray early in the morning. And I'll look at one of the names. And I'll just kind of meditate on the meaning of that name and how it brings blessing to us and to me in particular. Speak out loud some of the names you see on this blanket, would you? Go ahead, speak out loud. Louder. Hallelujah, you sound like Pentecostals. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, yeah. You see, there are so many ways in which God blesses our life, and we need to surround ourselves with His character qualities like we wrap ourselves in a blanket. And we can praise Him for His many names, and I encourage you to use your Bible time in part by studying some of the names of God. So important. Also, use Scripture. We can pray Scripture. An example briefly would be Psalm 16:11. Lord, You have shown me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. And at Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank You, Lord, that You lead me in the way of life. And You fulfill my life. I praise You and I thank You for that. So use Scripture. Also use music. Psalm 47:6. Sing praises to our God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. I loved the worship time we had this morning, as Carol mentioned. It was just glorious, wasn't it? I love the way the cross changed colors. And that line of that one song, the cross, where your blood ran red and my sin washed white. Unbelievable. What a great line. And I'm thankful for our worship and Pastor Chad and giving leadership to our worship arts and all those in tech that work so hard. We love you guys. You enhance our worship experience. And I'm so thankful to come to a church that is so creative and expresses it in such beautiful ways. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. You know, I love the fact that we can sing praise songs alone in our prayer closet. And it doesn't matter if we're great singers or not, or just make a joyful squeak. The Lord loves to hear us sing. But I love it when we come together in that sound of intensified worship, multiplied exponentially by all of us singing together. There's times that I just stop and I listen and I let You almost sing over me, it would seem. And praise is such a powerful thing, and I know the Lord loves to hear us gather and sing and pray together. And that's what we're going to do tonight at 6 o'clock. And you said, Ron, I've had plenty this morning. Well, I hope you'll come again tonight at 6 for two reasons. One is He deserves our praise. And secondly, He wants to bring some blessing and breakthrough to our life. And God knows we need it. And as we enter into this time of Christmas outreach, there's a lot of warfare that's going on. And I want us to cover all of the expressions of outreach that will be made this Christmas season with prayer. And I hope you'll join us tonight at 6. Well, finally, there's one more lesson we can learn from the Samaritan. And that is his expression of thanksgiving. What did he actually do to express his praise and thanksgiving? Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Now, you might say that's kind of getting carried away. But when he's changed your life and cleansed your body and given you sozo, deliverance, you've got something to sing about. And what is the correct expression of thanksgiving and praise? Well, there's not really one correct expression, but we know that it will involve all of us, not just something we think, but something we do and express. I've given you some examples in the Bible there, bowing down. Psalm 95:6, come let us bow down and worship, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. There's something about bowing down that allows us to humble ourselves. And I do that, as I said, every morning, and sometimes wrapped in a blanket. And I pray and I just align myself and surrender to God. And I say, Lord, take me, cleanse me, fill me, use me. Show me the way you want me to go. And I just find that it makes such a difference that if you give God your day early in the morning, that the day goes differently. That's one of the reasons I love the early morning Christmas men's prayer that we do every year. That we'll do at 5:30 to 6:30 on Christmas morning. And I'm sure the guys that have come, you'll be back. Because it sets the whole day off on a different course. It kind of gets you in touch with what Christmas is really all about. And so bowing down is so important. And we bow down together on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And somebody starts to snore, we give an elbow, you know. But lifting our hands, Psalm 134:2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Some of you who are new to us, maybe this is your first time here or you're new to us, you might see a lot of us lifting our hands and thinking to yourself, what's the deal with that, you know? And let me just share a little bit personally. I think when it comes to lifting hands, there's three things that it does. One is surrender. It means I give up. It's the international sign of surrender, isn't it? Get your hands up. I surrender. And when we lift our hands in praise, I think sometimes we just say, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender to you and I give myself to you. It's receptivity. It's the international sign of saying yes. How many wouldn't mind if I slipped you a $100 bill this morning? Show of hands. Two hands, Jesse. Yeah, you get 200 bucks. But, you know, some of you raise your hands right then and have never raised your hands in worship. I want the money, dude. I want the money. You know. But sometimes I think of myself as a funnel. I just say, Lord, I want all that you have for me. And I pour it out. Sometimes I feel like it's going the other way. I say, Lord, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. Sometimes when I'm over there singing, I even sneak in a glory wave. And the words that we're singing, I kind of apply on all of you. Say, Lord, may this truth be true to all of my family here this morning. So I kind of wave my hands like I'm putting on peanut butter that I love and never have anymore. But we lift our hands for a bunch of reasons. Also, dedication. Again, I'm yours. I sign up. I'm yours. And I really encourage you to grow a little bit in your worship life. You know, I grew up in a tradition that only raised one hand. And two hands were for Pentecostals. One hand was for Nazarenes. And in fact, most Nazarenes only lifted one hand. You know, kind of half-mast. You know. And those are really, really, really going for it, you raise two. But this up-high thing, that was for weirdos. But you know, as I got past worrying what people thought about me, I got more free in worship, and I was able to just express myself by lifting hands. Clapping of our hands. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. And we clap our hands not just to reinforce the beat, like our band needs help. But we clap our hands to celebrate when somebody does something. Man, last week, by the end of our baptisms, my hands were like numb. We were clapping our hands so much, and it was awesome. But we need to clap our hands and give God praise and glory. Dancing is the next one. Dancing, 149:3, like that penguin. We ought to be free to dance. And if you want to dance around, go ahead. I've only, you know, thought of rebuking one person in my life, and I'll never think of it again. Because what happened is a woman came down this aisleway dancing during the worship singing, and I was offended. I was ticked. I really was. I said, what is she doing? Drawing attention away from our worship and putting attention on herself, and this is for show, and I'm just offended by it. And the Lord said, really? You're offended by it. Ron, think about what just happened in her life. Her husband was killed in a car accident. And Ron, what's the song we're singing? He turned my mourning into dancing. So the Holy Spirit said, zip it, Salisbury. And I just began to celebrate with her right in that moment. And if you ever want to dance, you go ahead. You're not going to have a problem for me. Don't ask me to join you, though, because I'm a terrible dancer. All right. moving right along. Playing an instrument. We don't all play an instrument, but we've got that instrument of our hands. And that leads us to the last thing, using our voice, the instrument of our lips. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord of our salvation. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. We're commanded in Scripture here that our praise would be loud. In Hebrew, that word halal actually means splitting the eardrums with sound. Can I get an amen from the tech? Okay. Yeah. Now, I know, and you know, that we can't please everybody with a volume level. And we do our best to do that. But we can't please everybody. But we're going to try to find a happy medium where those of us who are deaf from the 60s and like it full, it's balanced with those that think it's piercing and too loud. But we're going to find that right balance. But I think it needs to be thunderous in terms of being filled with joy. That other word, shout for joy to the Lord. And something I'm going to treasure the memory for the rest of my life is Joaquin over here saying, glory to God. Most people say, glory to God, put the emphasis on God, but Joaquin would always go, glory to God. Can you relate to that, right? And I loved it. I'm going to miss it, but I'm so thankful. That he's given his praise directly to Jesus this morning. Amen? Amen. Well, there's many different styles of praise and worship, and we want to grow in our worship life as a congregation. But I want to just ask you as we close this morning, how will you grow in your expressions of thanksgiving and praise toward God and toward others? I've listed some things you can do, but I really encourage you to grow. Don't stay stagnant. Don't stay in the same place. But find a way to grow in your expression of thanksgiving and praise. Do you see reasons you have to be thankful? It might be good for you to just make a list like that person did. What can you do to see better the blessings in your life? Spend some time thinking about it. Do you move beyond feeling grateful to expressing your thanks? Can you grow in your worship skills? Maybe you need to start raising your hands or start dancing or start standing. Whatever you need to do, begin to enter in and grow in your worship skills. Do you see your whole life as worship, doing everything you do to the glory of God? And I encourage you maybe this week to write a note or send a text or an email or make a call. Say thank you to someone. Be grateful. On the back of the notes, as we usually have a few suggestions for some devotional time, this week on the bottom, I put this. On Thanksgiving Day, before your Thanksgiving meal, go around the table and share why you are thankful. Share one thing about God for which you are thankful. Then, share one thing about one of the people at your table. And before you dig into the meal, that's like over in 37 seconds, it seems like, spend some time being thankful to God and each other. You know, on April 15th, 2013, one of the best-known sporting events in the world was marred by violence when two homemade bombs planted close to the finish line exploded. The blast killed three people, wounded 260 others, and cost 16 people some of their limbs. For 1 year anniversary of the Boston bombing, the New York Times profiled a number of survivors about how they're coping with the trauma. Naturally, these interviewees expressed sorrow and rage and fear and anger, all these different emotions. But one theme that came through loud and clear to the surprise of the interviewers was a consistent thread of gratitude. One survivor put it this way, "Life is short. The day of the marathon just reinforces my belief that life is short and you need to cherish each moment." A 45-year-old female lawyer reflected what she learned after a year. "It was such a terrible tragedy that sometimes I feel guilty because it was a blessing for me. It made my life more rich, more full. I learned how to appreciate living in the moment. I learned not to worry and stress about small things. I don't let those little things bother me. I don't let the piddly money issues bother me. It was not even conscious effort on my part. It just changed my attitude." A 39-year-old scientist said this, "I've had moments where I can't believe how close everything came. Now I embrace life for what it is. I want to keep on living and propel my positive energy to help other people, in a more positive way. Well, you know, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And notice he says, give thanks in everything, not for everything. There's things that we really can't be thankful for if we're honest. But in every situation, as tough as it is, there's always reason to be thankful. Amen? Amen? So I encourage you to think of those things that you're thankful for, even in the midst of the tough time. And I believe in time, you'll be able to look back and actually be thankful for the tough time itself, because it brought you closer to God. And God used it in your life. I'd like you to bow your heads and I want to pray together, okay? Lord, we thank you this morning for the example of this amazing man, the one leper among the other nine that returned to give praise to God and thanks to Jesus. And Lord, what an amazing example of obedience, going to show himself to the priest, knowing that the priest never would have seen him. But he went anyway, and on the way he was cleansed. And Lord, I pray that that would be an encourager for us to be people who are obedient and trust in you regardless of the odds, regardless of the way the situation looks, regardless of what the bank account shows or the doctor pronounces, or regardless of what happens in relationships, regardless of what happens in any way in our life. Lord, we put our trust in your promises and we hang on to the truth of your word. And I pray you'll make us, not just this week, but for the rest of our lives, people who are really good at giving thanks and praise to you and to each other. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus.